Once a British teen pop singer, later a Tony Award-winning actor on Broadway, to many, Jim Dale will always be known as the narrator of J.K. Rowling's magical Harry Potter novels. He gives voice to every single character in the audiobooks, from the villainous Lord Voldemort to the know-it-all Hermione Granger to Hogwarts headmaster Albus Dumbledore. In the sixth and latest installment of the series Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, Jim Dale tackled 117 different characters, including Snape and Wormtail.
Wormtail winced as though Snape had thrown something at him.
"I am not your servant,"
he squeaked, avoiding Snape's eye.
"Really? I was under the impression that the Dark Lord placed you here to assist me."
"To assist, yes, but not to make you drinks and clean your house."
"I had no idea, Wormtail, that you were craving more dangerous assignments," said Snape silkily. "This can be easily arranged. I shall speak to the Dark Lord."
"I can speak to him myself if I want to."
"Of course you can," said Snape, sneering. "But in the meantime, bring us drinks. Some of the elf-made wine will do."
Jim Dale joins us here in Studio 3A. And while we were listening to that, you were listening to that. You said you never listened to these things. You never heard this.
I've never heard that in my life. No, I wouldn't listen to these audiobooks of mine because I'd be far too critical. Because I'd pick holes in it, you know. I'd like to polish that or polish that. But you only get one chance when you're doing the reading. There's no take two or three or four, just one take.
And, really? There's no director there saying, would you try to sound more wounded?
Oh, no. That's a producer. There isn't a director telling you how to do it. You're your own boss there. You're your own judge. And sometimes, you know, when I've spoken a line, I'll deliberately swear at the end of it so that we have to stop the tape and do it again.
Wouldn't want that to end up on the final tape now, would you?
Well, we wouldn't want that, no.
If you have questions about the characters that Jim Dale inhabits and how he does it all, our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And you can also send us email, totn@npr.org. When you started this, did you ever think this was going to be a decade's work? This was going to be the grand opus for which you may be remembered by a lot of people?
That's true. No, I hadn't thought of that, but I did when I first read the book. Book number one, I realized that this was something exceptional. This was a fantastic story about a world alongside our own existing world, a world of magic. And I thought every boy on earth would like to either be Harry Potter or be Ron, and every young girl would like to be Hermione, able to do all this magic and to go to a magic school to become sorcerers and wizards in future life. So I knew it would be something really beyond anything that we had in today's modern children's reading, and I knew it would be something like Alice in Wonderland or Peter Pan, and sure enough, that's what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. We hear those, of course, in our parents' voices as they read them to us. Technology means that every kid is going to remember you.
Well, wouldn't that be nice? Yes, I think that would be absolutely fantastic to leave your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great, keep on and on, grandchildren, a whole legacy of Harry Potter audiobooks. Yeah, couldn't think of anything nicer to leave them. I just want to be there when they listen to them.
Here's an email from Penny Yone. Please add my kudos to Jim Dale's audio interpretations of the Harry Potter novels. I have heard them all, just purchased the latest on CD rather than the book. They're lively and addictive because his variety of voices distinguishes each character so well. My son is mentally handicapped but can absorb the narrative much better listening to Mr. Dale rather than my less effective character interpretations, which tend to put him to sleep. Also, they are really long books to read out loud.
Well, that's absolutely wonderful. I'm so thrilled about that. I've always thought that an audio book, if spoken or narrated correctly, can give the audience an added dimension to that particular character, because that character then comes to life from the description that the author gives of that character, and also by the way the narrator can bring to life the character. Mm-hmm. It also, as I said, adds not just another dimension, but it gives that child a wonderful added look at that magical world.
Mm-hmm. Let's get some callers on the line. We'll start with Max. Max in Columbia, South Carolina.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
It's quite an honor to speak with both of you. I'm actually a second-time caller on the show. I was a little bit nervous the first time, but I'm glad I've got a little bit more control over myself now. I was calling because I've been a big Harry Potter fan, actually, for a couple of years now, and I've listened to the first five books on tape through Mr. Dale's just brilliant work. And, you know, I'm 20 years old, and I'm a political science student in college, and, you know, he speaks of children. But I'd say that, you know, his ability to differentiate so brilliantly between the characters is something that all of us can appreciate. And it's almost as if, you know, I've watched a 100-hour movie between the books. And I guess my question is, you know, how, as the characters continue to multiply and become more complex, how do you still capture exactly who those characters are, the essence of the characters? Because I'll tell you, my father's a 65-year-old PhD in political science and dean at the med school, and I've got him hooked on these books on tape as well. So I'm just wondering, you know, what it is that allows you to bring those books alive for all of us.
Well, thank you, first of all, for the lovely compliments you just paid me. In answer to the question, as I said earlier on, I think you have to put yourself as the reader. You have to put yourself into the head and into the mind of every character that the author has written about, whether the character is a human being or whether it's a snake or whether it's a spider. Still doesn't matter. You have to see the story and the world through their eyes, and through the description that the author gives you, you then have to try and put something in the way of a voice through the mouth of that character. And not only that, you have to love every character you're doing, because the character himself doesn't recognize that he's the villain. Why not? So you have to just give everything you can to that character's voice. And each one, I've just focused on each one as I get to it and hope to be original.
I've read that you, for example, envisioned Dumbledore with a bit of John Houseman.
Absolutely. There are lots of people that I've used their voice as a springboard toward the voice that I eventually end up with. John Houseman did actually speak like this. I remember having dinner with John, and every word in the sentence that was important was pointed out like that. And so I use that as mm-hmm. Dumbledore.
He had quite a reputation, but of course he earned it. Anyway, do you keep a tape log of these character voices?
Yeah.
So you have to go back and say, how did this guy sound in the first book who hasn't been back until the sixth?
Well, two things about that. One is, as I go through the book when I'm reading it for the first time, and I don't have much time to read it, just 24 hours. I can only read 100 pages. So I invent the voice, and I have a small tape recorder with me, and on the page of the script I write voice 1 Dumbledore, and then on the tape I say voice 1 Dumbledore, and I read the first sentence that Dumbledore speaks. Now, at the end of the book, I have goodness knows how many voices there for me to mm-hmm. go back to listen to rewind, to forward wind, to remind me of the voice I invented the night before, because I can't keep them all in my head. But they did finally give me a program that I have for my computer that has every voice that I've ever recorded, Dumbledore book 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so I can press on that mm-hmm. and double click it, and out will come the voice that I created 7 years ago.
Max, thanks very much for the call.
Yeah. Thank you, Max.
Very much. Well, if you'd allow me just one brief follow-up. I was just wondering how Mr. Dale handles access to the books. And I'll take my answer online. I'm wondering if there's a lot of questions for people who are just curious to just find out what happens next.
Yeah, do you get the books ahead of time? Thanks, Max, for the call.
Absolutely, I have to. Obviously, in the last three books I've had ahead of time, and I suppose there's quite a thrill to actually have the manuscript in your possession of a book that everybody in the world is waiting to read.
And are there several Secret Service agents along with you?
No, almost. We have so much security. I can only, after I've read the first 100 pages, they're taken away from me and put in the safe. I mean, everything is, because if it was lost to the internet through somebody stealing it, I suppose millions of dollars too would be lost.
Let's get another caller in. Eva. Eva's calling us from San Francisco.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was just wondering if J.K. Rowling and you talked about what the character should sound like before you made the tapes, if she had any input on it. And if she said it in the end.
Well, what happened when I met J.K., she knew of my work back in England. I'd lived over there for many, many years, and I'd done so much television and acting at the National Theatre, and she'd seen a lot of my work. And the one thing she said, I just trust you. And that was it. She didn't give me any indication as to which character had to sound. Her description in the book, I think, lends a key to me as to what the character should sound like. And we're very lucky in the fact that in the United Kingdom, we do have Irish, Scottish, Welsh, and English to choose from, as well as the various character voices that I could use from various regions of those four countries. So there's a whole stockpile there of voices to choose from, accents to choose from, sorry.
Have your voice characterizations been affected at all by the actors who are cast as those characters in the movies?
No, because we recorded the books first before mm-hmm. the movies. Chris Columbus, I believe, received some tapes from my agent. Funny. This is funny because we didn't hear anything, and my agent wanted me to be in one of the films, obviously, and she finally phoned up to Chris Columbus's secretary and said, has Chris Columbus ever heard of Jim Dale? And the answer was, yes, he often listens to the tapes to give him some ideas to what the characters should sound like. So that's a bit of a sort of compliment.
Of sorts, but you have yet to appear in the movies. Anyway, Eva, thank you very much for the call.
Thank you.
Thank you, Eva.
We're talking with actor Jim Dale, the voice of the Harry Potter novels, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Here's an email from Maria in Scottsdale, Arizona. Hagrid is my favorite character to do when I read to my kids. Who's yours?
Oh, you've put me on the spot, haven't you? I love all the characters. I think, as I said, I've inhabited each and every one of them. So I have favorites. Yes, I suppose Dobby is one of my favorites. It seems to be one of the favorites of all the very young children. And I'll be doing a reading tonight, and I know they're going to scream out for that one. They always do. But I love all of them, even the villains, each and every one.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, there are all these people obsessed with all this Harry Potter stuff, and it's all well and good. Go back to your great contribution in the Carry On films. I hadn't realized till the miracle of the internet summoned the fact that Jim Dale, as a young man, was the romantic lead in several of the Carry On movies, and these are films that are difficult to explain to an American audience.
They are. They are difficult to explain. Yes, they're rather crude humor. Crude humor.
But so the precursor to Benny Hill, if you will.
Yes, the sort of precursor to Benny Hill. A very slightly crude humor. And one of the cleaner jokes was the man just about to have his head chopped off in Don't Lose Your Head, Carry On, Don't Lose Your Head, just about to have his head chopped off on the guillotine, and his messenger ran up and said, I have your reprieve for you, my lord. And the guy looked up and said, drop it in the basket, I'll read it later. Wonderful, corny, stupid jokes like that. And I did about 11 or 12 of these films out of a total of 33. And so, they're now in the British Museum, in the archives there, a great example as to what 20th century humor was like in the way of films.
Sort of the Zeppo Marx of the carry-on troupe.
That's right. Yeah, no, I was the crazy one. I did all my own stunts because they knew very well if I broke my neck, they'd shoot the scene in wide angle with the stuntman. So.
These were wonderful introductions to English culture in particular for me, I especially the man, I'm England's secret boring weapon.
I didn't realize you'd seen some of this.
Oh, late-night television has many sins to answer for.
But, you know, these films are now going out in England two or three times a week, and I've just heard that they're also being shown extensively on Eastern European countries. We have them in... would I like to go over to Prague now? Because they're such big hits on Prague and television. And
well, if you get the chance to see one, take the opportunity.
Try and sit through it till the end. Yes.
Let's get some more callers on the line. This is Madonna. Madonna calling from St. Louis.
Not the Madonna. Yeah.
Not the Madonna. She lives in England now.
Yes, she does. Yeah.
Not in St. Louis.
Hello, Madonna.
How are you?
I'm fine, darling.
I have a brief story and then a question. It's a habit of mine to listen to books on CD before I go to sleep every evening. And I've listened to all the Harry Potter books on CD, but the other day I was in a store and all of a sudden I was yawning and just yearning for a nap, and I realized that they were playing one of the Harry Potter books with your voice, and your voice is so soothing that I immediately wanted to just settle down and relax. So I appreciate
just what every entertainer wants to hear, Madonna.
That's exactly what.
No, that's not at all what I.
I've had a whole audience of 2,000 people feel the same.
My question is, how does one become a professional book reader?
I have no idea. Let me try and answer that. I was asked to do this job because someone had heard that I was off Broadway in a play called Travels with My Aunt, and three men on that stage were playing 33 characters between them. So immediately the people concerned with Harry Potter said, right, let's sign Jim Dale up, which they did, and then found out that Jim Dale only played the aunt and the nephew. The other two guys played 31 characters between them. So I just got into it by accident. I don't know if there are any special schools to go to be a narrator, but I do think that if you've been an actor and if you've been on stage and if you've been in front of audiences, especially doing humour, and you've acquired that timing and the knowledge that this is a funny line, therefore don't rush it too quickly and don't give a pause at the end of it, because that audience listening are going to react. There might be just the slightest giggle, but don't kill that giggle, because it's most important. And I think if you've been an actor previous to narrating books, then you'll have had the experience that is necessary for that particular kind of job.
Thanks for the call, Madonna.
Thanks.
Let's see if we could squeeze in one more very quickly. Emma, we just have a few seconds left. Emma calling from Cleveland Heights in Ohio.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was wondering what Mr. Dale thinks Lily and James Potter would sound like.
Harry's deceased parents.
You rotten lot. How would they sound like? They'd sound very mumsy and dadsy. I'm sure they would. As far as the voices are concerned, I really, just give me a little, like another 3 or 4 weeks to think about that. Mainly, I tell you why. The problem being, until you know who the character is and the way the author describes them as being, you know, an elderly lady with a wheezy voice, until she helps you along with the description, it's very difficult to give a voice to a character. For a mum, for just a mum and a dad, how would they sound like? That's, I don't know. They sound very ordinary, I suppose. Whereas Hagrid, whereas people like Dobby, whereas people like, you know, the eccentric types of people can have more eccentric types of voices. So that's the problem, I think, creating those two voices.
Emma, thank you so much for the call. Jim Dale, thank you so much for your time.
Not at all. It's been my pleasure.
Jim Dale, of course, many will remember him also as Barnum, but best known perhaps now as the voice of the Harry Potter novels. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.